This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
So, it's going to rain hard, maybe, tonight and into tomorrow, maybe, and maybe 8 to 10 inches of rain, maybe, maybe not. It's the time of year, you know, early May, where we get these torrential 1-in-100-year rain events, and we've had some problems in the past. So, we'll let you know everything you need to know here at WWL. We'll talk with Steve Nelson later on with the Sewage and Water Board, also Barry Keim, LSU climatologist. But all I can tell you is they got some unstable weather, and it could lead to some heavy rain, or maybe it won't, and they don't know. So there you go. Andy Smith joins us now. I know a lot of y'all love Andy Smith. I do, too. Director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. How you doing, Andy Smith?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm all right. We had a good meeting of the Andy Smith fan club last week. A lot of people showed up.
Both of us.
Yeah, they brought the Angela brought the smothered potatoes, which we really love. So that was a nice covered dish that we had. Anyway, seriously, let's talk about President Trump, because one thing I thought of when and I asked people to text in before their thoughts on President Trump. Somebody said Trump and staff doing a great job. Somebody else said, Tommy, I don't feel like I don't watch that many foreign films. I don't know what that means. Eggs are cheaper. Gas is cheaper. About the tariffs. Stock market's not that far off. Other than the threats of on national news, I'm not that affected. I would like to buy Trump for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. I detest him. We didn't have much of a choice with the presidential election. Somebody else said DOJ is settling with the family of the rioter killed by Capitol Police. Trump met with Proud Boy Enrico and Mom at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. So, corrupt and traitor to the U.S. should have been hung on Pence's gallows on January 7th. So apparently that's a very strong feeling about President Trump. He's not a man that about which you can be ambivalent, really, is he?
Yeah, nobody really just shrugs their shoulders about Trump, no. I think. Yeah, Love him or hate him, and a lot of that's just driven by your party and where you get your news from.
Now, a lot of people, you know, I don't buy into the Trump derangement syndrome thing. I think that was brilliant of him to come up with that, because basically, mm-hmm. It means if you criticize Trump, then you've got Trump derangement syndrome. But it does seem as though, you know, if you look at Meet the Press, I don't know if I have to follow the Constitution. He's either playing around or he's crazy. I think he's playing around. I don't think he's crazy when he just says things to try to shock us. I know that might seem like a surprise to people, but I think he says things to shock us and try to get attention. Do you think I'm wrong?
I think there's a lot of that he does, a lot of that trolling. But a lot of it also is that it's just his way of speaking and not really answering a question directly, mm-hmm. allows for so much interpretation by somebody who has ill intent, shall we say. So when he was saying, should I follow the Constitution, I think a lot of that was, you know, my lawyers are arguing about some things or some disagreements over things. You know, I don't know what the answer is. So I don't want to be defending him, really, but it's just after watching him for years, he's not very clear in how he speaks.
Well, and it's interesting techniques that he uses, too. Like, he'll, you know, if a reporter corners him, he'll say, well, you're not being very nice. I don't know who you are. He'll attack the reporter himself. The president does have a knack of saying some things like gas being $1.98 a gallon, which I don't know where he got that from, but it doesn't matter, because for people that love him, it's truth, right?
That is one of the things that we've been seeing, and it's become It's not just for Trump, it's for Biden as well. But the partisanship is really what's driving all of this. You know, you're rooting for your team. You know, it's like my country, good or bad, or like my mother, mm-hmm. drunk or sober. That's where we've gotten with politics now, is that there's not a clear set of facts that people are willing to accept. There's not clear interpretations of world events that they're willing to accept. It's all being driven by politics, and, you know, the parties are loving it.
Well, somebody texted in, Tommy, great leaders are often what we call disruptors. Well, that's true, and that statement, just on the face of it, you know, I could turn it around and say, you know, some leaders that have been disruptors have not been so great either. But people tend to see it through the prism of what they want to see. And when it comes to Trump's approval rating, I'm looking at a headline here from a story. It says Trump's approval rating is low, but good luck finding those who regret their vote. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I know there are some people that in my neighborhood that are staunch Trump supporters and flag flyers and so forth. Not U.S. flags, but Trump flags. And I know that his policies are hurting them, but I know also that there is no way they're going to say that they have any buyer's remorse. And it's not just about Trump or them. It's about human beings being able to or willing to admit they made a mistake. And I'm not saying they necessarily did or they feel that way. But generally speaking, human beings don't want to say that I was wrong or I made a mistake. If, in fact, they would be. Andy Smith, our guest, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. What do you think about President Trump? 504-260-1870. Somebody texted in. I'm a take him or leave him guy on Trump. I voted for him, but would have happily voted for a better option had we been offered one. And just like Andy said, it's like it's so much about winning or losing. You lose sight of the fact that maybe we could do something better than either side. 621 traffic now, WWO. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, about President Trump's approval ratings. But yet, when it comes to people that have voted for him, you're not going to find a lot of people that regret their vote. And somebody texted in, not voting for Harris, a mistake. Are you kidding me? And that's, Andy, goes to what you said, where people frame it as like a win-loss kind of thing, where, well, both Harris and Trump can suck in a world, if that's the way you think, but it doesn't have to be one's bad that making the other one good, right?
Exactly. And then over the last three presidential elections, we saw that neither candidate had high favorability ratings going into the election. Both in 2016, 2020, and 2024, each time they were the two least liked presidential candidates in history. And then they broke each other's records year after or election after election. But that didn't stop people from saying, well, my skunk is better than your, my party skunk is better than your party skunk. And they, you know, you end up going down the list of tiebreakers almost and decide which candidate you're going to vote for, because neither of them, frankly, none of the candidates have been second comings of Winston Churchill.
But when you get right down to it, it does ultimately default to red or blue, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's something that has been increasing in the United States going back at least until the 1960s and 70s, really accelerated by the 1990s and 2000s. We don't have the ideological broadness of the parties that we used to have. And we're in another shift right now. The old conservative Republican Party, small government, free trade, that sort of stuff, that's going away because Trump's remaking this party into something different. And it's becoming, it's kind of like we're seeing the base of America, the middle of America, the blue collar voters, the middle class voters shifting from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. And the Republican Party is taking over those positions, and the Democratic Party is becoming the elite party. So it's we're seeing kind of a sociological shift within the parties rather than the political makeup. And that makes it easy for people to look at the other party with scorn. They're either pointy headed intellectuals or they're, you know, knuckle draggers over there on the other side.
I wonder. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Andy.
No, go finish up.
I was just going to say, I wonder what the future portends here, because does that give the Democrats an opportunity, or when it comes to what the Republicans are? I thought Republicans were for smaller government, and they seem to be, unless it's government in control of what I want the government to be in control of, or taxes to tax whatever I want, and him and not you. You understand what I'm saying?
there's the rub. You're looking for ideological consistency, and I don't think you're going to find much in politics today.
Does that change going forward, or is this the new normal?
I think it's the new normal because, frankly, our national government over the last 100 years has really been able to offer benefits to each small group of people in the country. So everybody's got a little piece of the pie, and the parties want to reward the people that are their supporters and punish the other folks. But there are enough goodies to go around that everybody likes to buy the votes that they need to get elected.
I like to lessen anxiety. So for people that are just, their hair is on fire about President Trump, do you see a difference between him and President Trump from 2016 or Donald Trump from 35 years ago? Because I don't.
I don't see too much difference other than shortness of time, understanding that things are going to end quickly.
But in terms of personality, for people that are all flipping out and everything, I don't see any difference. And he's always been, right? When somebody shows you who they are, believe them?
I think so. You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Actually, I think you can sometimes if you use enough treats. Thank you, Andy. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. I got a new dog, and I'm trying to figure out how to train him because I think he's got some border collie in him, and I think he wants to work. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for Better Louisiana, on how things are going in the legislative session up in Baton Rouge. Right now, we pause for WWL First News. May 3rd, May 5th, you name it, it can be a tough time of year. Barry Irwin joins us now, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for a Better Louisiana. How you doing, Barry?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. So I'm looking at a post here from Julie O'Donoghue, a reporter for the Louisiana Illuminator. She says on Twitter, the Louisiana House just voted unanimously for a major rewrite of the state ethics laws pushed by Governor Jeff Landry. No lawmaker got up to ask a single question. The ethics board staff expressed many concerns about the bill Friday. Then her story says, while facing ethics charges, Landry pushes overhaul of investigation process. That's a big overview. Maybe you can give us the details on what's going on, Barry, and your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it is a big rewrite of the ethics legislation, and it really goes from top to bottom. I mean, I think the thing that really concerned us, and we spoke out about it, was what it really does is make it almost impossible for, the ethics board to really investigate folks. And, I won't say to get a conviction or to find somebody, at fault, but it really raises the bar a lot. And so, almost everything requires a two-thirds vote just to begin an investigation. There are other considerations that are put in there. It gives legislators a lot more ability to do things like with trips and, entertainment and those types of things. So I don't know. My feeling is we had this period under Bobby Jindal where we wanted to have the gold standard of, ethics and number one in ethics. And, I guess we just got tired of that. And so we don't feel that way anymore.
So what could be the effects of this, I guess? What could that look like, Barry, the new, if this passes as proposed, this law? What could people do maybe and not be subject to review or not be investigated for?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you kind of worry about is, there are violations. Let's not be, it's not big in the news all the time, but it does happen that there are violations of things. And a lot of them have to do with, family things, nepotism-related things, or hires that are inappropriate for a lot of reasons. It's not the end-of-the-world thing, but there are things that we don't want to happen. And they're the things that erode confidence that people have in government and in government officials and in our political leaders. So we need to have these things in place so that, we can maintain that confidence. What I fear that will happen is that people will be, kind of much more lax with trying to pay attention to some of these things. Accepting kind of gifts or things that they shouldn't be accepting from people who should not be giving them to them because they're doing business with the entity or whatever it is like that. And it just becomes more of a way of life of accepting these things because it will be so hard for the ethics board to actually get the votes, to make a conviction and that type of thing.
And let me be clear about this. I just try to call balls and strikes, okay? So when it comes to, on one hand, we're saying that We want to make the business, the state more business friendly. We want to attract new businesses. We want to change tax code. We want to do this. We want to do that. It would seem to me Louisiana long had a reputation of, you know, it's bad in a lot of places, but in Louisiana, the bribery, the corruption is really bad. It would seem to me like if you're trying to attract new businesses and you're trying to change the business climate in Louisiana, that it's disingenuous to loosen ethics laws while you're trying to do that, if you're going to attract new businesses. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, let's be honest. This probably is going to be on the radar for a little while here, and then it's probably going to go away. I mean, kind of what happened, if you remember back in the Jindal thing, they made a big deal about it. We said, look, this is part of our reputation. It's not a good part of our reputation, and we're going to go try and do some things to fix it, and did some things to move up into the rankings. Honestly, it rankled a lot of the legislators. They've always kind of had, you know, a spot of, you know, angst about having to do some of the things they have to do. And finally, I think the pendulum has swung back. But, you know, you're right. I don't think it looks great in the headlines for us to have some of the issues that we have and then say, oh, yeah, and we're going backwards on ethics laws.
That's the only point I was trying to make. Let me take a break. We come back. We'll talk about disclosure, I guess, as far as something else the governor's pushing for to shield campaign spending on constitutional amendments, which is odd because the governor accused George Soros of tanking his March ballot initiative, but now he wants to make it harder to determine, as I understand it, who's paying for what ad against what proposal. We'll talk about that and other things as well with the session when we come back with Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for Better Louisiana. Oconheart Jeweler text me lines open at 504-260-1870. If you have any questions or comments, 650, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Governor's pushing for an overhaul of ethics investigation processes, and while he's facing some ethics charges, and we while we talk about building a better business climate, it would seem as though making sure that public officials were subject to scrutiny and weren't on the take, and I'm not implying anything here for anybody, but just in terms of it just seems contradictory to say we're going to change a tax structure to make it business friendly here, but yet we're going to make it a little bit harder to find out what's going on over there with politicians and who has influence. Along those lines, Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders of a Better Louisiana, is with us. They're talking about shielding campaign spending on constitutional amendments and tax proposals, which is interesting because the governor, after he got his rear end handed to him on a ballot with his March proposals, blame George Soros for putting money behind this, but this would actually make it more difficult to determine who's paying for what, right?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't get this at all. I mean, there's a full, complete campaign finance overhaul, which you can sort of understand. You may disagree or agree or disagree, but you can understand what they're doing. This I do not understand. I mean, it just seems like basic, you know, freedom of whatever that people should know. When these ballots or measures are on the ballot, keep in mind, a lot of these are tax measures, the things that are important. A lot of them are constitutional amendments that deal with things that are, you know, big deals in our state. We ought to be able to know who is kind of pushing for or against some of these things. It's just, you know, common sense. I don't understand this, but it's not a good step in the right direction.
And even at that, Barry, correct me if I'm wrong, but what, you know, if it carries the disclaimer paid for by, you still need to do some research to see who the hell paid for it by is, right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You don't know who it is. There are these different things with various PACs. And you know, they can already do this to some degree already. But, yeah, they don't have to disclose who's behind it. So you got to name, you know, Citizens for Good Stuff, but you don't know who that is. And that just, you know, transparency is, to me, always the solution to so many of the problems that we have. But if we're taking away transparency, that's just really a step in the wrong direction.
And there's no doubt that these things we're talking about would take away transparency, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we don't want to try and prevent everybody from doing everything. Certainly there's freedom of speech, there's freedom of expression, freedom for people to contribute to causes that they believe in. That's fine and good. We probably have too much money in the system, and we're probably going to be adding more with it. But at least if we have transparency, you and I can look and see where the money's coming from. We can see if we agree or disagree with that source. It can help us make decisions about things that we do have to decide. And when we don't have that transparency, it just makes it harder for all of us.
And when it comes to relocating businesses, companies don't want to have to bribe officials, correct? They want an even playing field?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that's of interest to me is I would think, you know, businesses don't want to cross the legislature or a governor, political people. I get that. But on the other hand, it's kind of sending a message to businesses, you know, bring your money and we're going to be going into your pockets.
Yep. I got you. Thank you, Barry.